Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Got a couple more hours left with you tonight. And yes, it's almost Christmas. Can you believe it? Now that it's after midnight, it's Wednesday. We are 1 week away from December 25th. Wow. So I guess I can start playing some Christmas songs on the show. We'll just play full-blown Christmas music. Why not? I can think of other things we could do. But my kid loves Christmas music. He's five. This is what happens. My wife will take him out somewhere. They'll be in the car. They're listening to our sister station, KEZK. And a Christmas song will come on. And they'll get to their destination before the song's over. And he'll say, no, let's wait. I want to finish the song. One of those Christmas guys. There's a story that popped up in The Guardian. A small town Alaskan newspaper is seeking a new owner. Tell me this doesn't sound like a Hallmark movie in the making. An Alaska newspaper publisher is ready to hand over the operation to a new owner. They say that the new owner in this small town, there's about 1,000 people that live there, and that's not a lot of people. Their circulation's only like 500, 550. That's pretty low circulation. But all things considered, you're reaching a lot of people in the town. You know, if there's 1,000 people and 550 people sign up for it, that's a lot of people, right? I mean, that's more than half of the whole population. Maybe they're sending these newspapers out. But if you think about households that have more than one person living in it, it seems like this would be above average. Like, it seems like pretty much every household would have one. So you have a big audience, right? Captivated audience that's super local, hyper local, right to your one area. Founded in 1978, this newspaper was put together. Now, the publisher, 68 years old, is the owner, the editor, the reporter, the publisher, the subscription taker, and he's got it all be the same person. As part of the community, lives there year-round, goes to the community events. They say that you should make enough money to pay yourself $50,000, and the newspaper could be yours for the low, low price of $0. The person wants to give it away. They feel like there's no use in selling it because, number one, you have a love for the craft of writing. If you're a journalist, if you're someone that is into it and you put a lot of time and effort and you are someone that has your hand into all of the different aspects of the newspaper, you just don't want to hand it over to someone and have them immediately close up shop because they realize they don't have what it takes to keep it going. $50,000 in Alaska is not a lot of money. You go to these really small town places where it's nearly impossible to find goods and services because, number one, they say that when you're in these super rural Alaskan areas, there's times where there's tourists that come by on the cruise ships, which is pretty exciting, you know, so there's an influx of people and goods and services that way and money coming in. You can sell your stuff or whatever it is. But when that closes down, pretty much your access to the rest of the world closes down as well. They stop shipping in goods and food. They got one grocery store. It's a pretty small place. I've lived at least for a summer in a really small place. And it had one grocery store. It had a laundromat, a gas station. And the gas station doubled as where you bought pizza because you can get pizza from that one spot. There was a bar. And then there was a butcher and an auto repair. And that was it. That was the little small place. I don't know how many people lived there, but it was nearly nothing. You would drive and you wouldn't see anyone. So I kind of understand what this whole thing is. This has to take a real special person to take on a job like this. Ideally, would you take on this job? Probably not. But this is the question I want to ask. Doesn't this sound exactly like a Hallmark movie? Who would star as the lead role to go back home and take over this small Alaskan newspaper, find love, and settle down roots in this small Alaskan town? Like, who would take the lead role for that? You think Candace Cameron would be the editor-in-chief? She's the one that does all the Hallmark movies. I guess it's not Lori Loughlin anymore. She's the one that's in the trial and was dumped immediately when the whole bribery scandal came. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for some major personalities to come in and do this. And when it comes to the Hallmark movies, it's always like the C actors and actresses, the ones that are vaguely familiar, like, oh, I think I saw that person in that one thing that one time. Where do I know them from? Probably all the other Hallmark movies, because they look exactly alike and they sound exactly alike. Like, you know, you're not going to get the C or D list actress and actors, like, you know, Screech from Saved by the Bell's not going to be showing up and doing one of these. They got to at least be likable. And I posted this question online and I got a lot of Twitter responses, which I thought was pretty good. Let me go back and see if I can find a few of them. One person said Hulk Hogan. Would you see a Hulk Hogan movie where he goes back and takes over? Probably not. There was one was brought up. And some of these actors I haven't seen before. One person said, yes, it would be a Hallmark movie. I just came up with this premise. Here's the premise that I came up with that would work for the Hallmark. The movie's called Above the Fold. It's a story of Tom Fold, a former NHL prospect who grew up, lots of promise there in Alaska, gets hurt, can't play in the NHL, moves back home to a small Alaskan town to follow his passion of writing. He meets an editor who often challenges him, but eventually falls in love with his unconventional and resourceful ways. Would you see that movie? Yeah, I think a lot of people would see that movie. In the end, doesn't even matter what Hallmark puts out there. I mean, most people are just going to watch the movie just because it's Hallmark anyway. One person asked if they can get lost in the wilderness and have to use the dad's sled dog team to get back, but I said no, probably not. I think what's more likely, you can have a dog named Gutenberg that comes with the shop, so it's just one of those things that are built into it. One person said, Brooks is the actor's name, and I came up with this plot line. Mecca Brooks, I think the guy's name is. Headline to Heartline, a recently unemployed man, played by Mecca Brooks, wins the New Yorker caption contest, a free trip to Alaska. While there, falls in love with the local bookstore owner and debates taking on the editor-in-chief of a local newspaper to stay there, or he goes back and lives his big-town life. He has to make that decision. I mean, there's always a decision in Hallmark movies. You know what I've noticed, too, if you've watched a trailer of a Hallmark movie lately? They give the entire plot away. They don't even pretend like you don't know what's going to happen. Like, in the plot line for a Hallmark movie, they'll show the guy proposing to the girl, even though the whole movie's about debating if they stay or leave. They'll show the proposal, right? It's like they know you know, so they lean into it. All right, so who would play that role? Who can you see going back and taking this job in the small Alaskan newspaper owner that is now debating if he wants to go back to the big town or he wants to stay there for love? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you want to come up with some Hallmark movie plots, we can do that right now. But I would love for you to pick an actor and let's just do it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Out of curiosity, I went online and I saw people are pretty good at condensing down all of the different plot points of a Hallmark movie. This is pretty good. All right, let's look at a few of these. Hallmark movies. Does anyone watch them? I know people do, and I know a lot of people do. This time of year, are you just nonstop Hallmark movie in it? You know, the weekend comes around, it's late at night. You know, the kids are in bed. You have no obligations. Got a fire going. Hot chocolate, whatever it may be. And you're just looking forward to that Hallmark movie. You can't get enough of it. Even then, you know exactly what's going to happen. It's, you know, guys, we have our action films. Let's be honest. We know what's going to happen in an action film. You know, the main guy is going to go in. He's going to get hurt. And it's going to look like he's not going to make it. And then he makes it. All right. We know that we replay plot points. It's not like it's just a Hallmark movie thing. But here, let's see. This is onecountry.com. said there's essentially seven different plots of any Hallmark Christmas movie. This is funny. Plot one, deceased parent leads to another parent needing help from a child, which leads to a love connection. Yeah, I've seen that one. Plot two, overworked child plans to skip Christmas, but gets fired and must return to his or her parents, which leads to a love connection. See, getting fired right before Christmas. That happens. Plot number... These are all so funny. Three, big city man travels to small town Christmas place to destroy it in the name of big business, but falls in love instead. Don't you love when those opportunities of love comes before business? Isn't that just the Christmas spirit? Number four, cold-hearted man hates children or animals, but is forced to care for a child or animal at Christmas, needs help from a neighbor or a coworker, which leads to a love connection. They all lead to love connections. Isn't Christmas the worst time to find a love connection? Don't you want to get past the holidays before you find it? I know that if you don't have that love connection, Christmas comes around, you're lonely or whatnot. But it seems like that's the worst time to pick up. Because ultimately, is that the one that's going to last? I mean, you're probably both doing it for other reasons and you just don't want to be alone on Christmas. So is that the basis of all good relationships? I guess, I don't know, it might be. All right, here's another plot point. One down-on-their-luck person receives house or land from a distant relative, but so does a real estate developer or lawyer. And though they don't see eye to eye, they will learn to love through remodeling this free house. I think that's where this one comes in. Small-town Alaska newspaper seeks an owner for the cost of nothing. Here's another plot point. Bad attitude, non-Christmas person reunites with old flame through very unlikely circumstances and falls in love. Why? Because it's Christmas. That's why. Do you need another plot point on top of that? One other one. A person goes through a bad breakup, but must also keep the breakup from their parents, which leads to hiring someone to play their old former flame. Ah, see? You bring in someone else because you want to keep the charade going, and you don't want to admit it to the parents, and then you fall in love with them too. Ah. Good old Hallmark movie channel. Plot lines, all the same. They would all fall under that. I don't know if I've ever seen a Hallmark Christmas movie that doesn't fall under that. Let's go to Jeff in Ferguson. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I actually did see it one earlier this week.
Well, what did you see?
It did not match any of those.
Really? What was the plot line?
You heard of the actress Summer Grew?
No, Summer Grew.
Firefly, I think.
Okay, let me look up. I can tell you if I saw it. Summer Gray? No.
G-L-U. Summer Group.
Oh, Summerlin G-L-A-U?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, let's see. I do not recognize her.
No. Well, anyway, it was a Santa Claus type thing. She played an elf.
Okay. As one would, yeah. And then how does the plot line work?
Tries to help a family and falls with the brother of the family.
Okay, so she's one of Santa's elves who helps a family member that's down on tough luck.
Well, they're not very Christmassy.
They're not the family's not Christmassy.
Yeah, because of the stuff going on.
Well, hold on. There's that one plot.
But she falls in love with the brother of the husband.
Falls in love with the brother of the husband.
Single.
Okay, there's that one plot line that they say, not very Christmassy, but falls in love. It might be. How does this work? She's an elf, not a human?
Yeah, apparently she takes on a thing, or I don't know, I call about the second part of it.
So she takes on human form from an elf?
Well, she hides her ears.
She hides her ears, so she has
long hair.
Is she self-conscious about it, or she doesn't want people knowing?
No,
she's an elf?
They don't want people to know.
Okay, can elves intermingle with humans? That's like cross species.
I guess so. I guess so. In this movie,
I don't think that works that way. I feel like there would be some, you know, it doesn't work. Like when you have two animals that aren't the same, you can't breed them. It seems like elves are their own things, or maybe not. I don't know.
But like I said, that was an actual interesting one. And then there's like a couple of where they're angels.
That's way out there. That's like, you know, once you get
They kind of moved away from that, though. Regular type stuff now.
No, that's like with the writers of these Hallmark movies are living in states where marijuana has been legalized. That's how they get these plot lines out just in time for Christmas. Let's put an elf into it. Why not? A little twist to the traditional story, I guess. Well, Jeff, are you going to be watching a lot of Hallmark movies?
I haven't seen too many that look like they're just all regular stuff this year.
Okay.
None of that Santa Claus magic stuff.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Good night.
So now elves are on the table. Let's add that to the plot lines. Let's see. From Florissant, is this Marnie? Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
Oh, Barney.
Barney?
B-A-R-N-E-Y.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Oh, doing well, doing well. Enjoying your show tonight.
Thanks.
But I'm actually in Florissant. I'm not in Florida.
Oh, yeah, Florissant. I might have misspoke. But you're calling in on this one newspaper deal.
Yes. What town is that you're talking about?
I think it's Skagway, S-K-A-G-W-A-Y.
Oh, okay.
Do you know that?
Okay, down in the southern panhandle.
It, let's see where this is at. I don't exactly know on the map. You said southern panhandle.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. It's down around Juneau and that part of Alaska.
Wow, you know that area pretty well. Did you live up there?
23 years.
Wow, it looks beautiful. I mean, just looking at photographs.
Oh, it is. A good friend of mine owned a radio station and the town newspaper in Valdez.
What was the newspaper name?
Oh, I don't remember now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at photographs. They're all professionally taken. They must have a lot of time with really nice cameras because I'm looking at some of these. And the main street just looks exactly out of a movie set. I mean, a Hallmark movie would fit perfectly here. Mountains, landscape.
Oh, yes.
Really beautiful. That's
a big tourist destination there in Skagway.
Yeah. What years did you live down there?
Well, I didn't live in Skagway. I lived in the interior. And Valdez, some pronounce it Valdez, but it's Valdez, Alaska.
Okay.
Is where a friend of mine owned a newspaper and a radio station.
Yeah, so what years, though?
Oh, I was there from 74 to 97.
All right. Let me pull this up here.
During the Exxon Valdez shipwreck.
All right, let's say 1980. We'll say 1980. Let me see if I can put in the cost here, because they say you can make about $50,000 doing this if you're lucky. I'm trying to figure out how much that would calculate to, because I think living in Alaska is extremely expensive. In today's time, do you think you could survive if you had a family, $50,000 in Alaska?
Boy, some people do, but I don't know how these days. It's awfully hard.
Yeah.
Cost of fuel and the cost of housing is just out of sight.
Oh, yeah. So let's see. I'm trying to see if I can put this into a calculator and get an idea about, about $15,000 in 1980s. Let's see, $16,000. Yeah, so about 1980, if you're making $16,000 up there, do you think you would have made it?
In 1980?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, yeah. This is going to be a tough sell. But you're getting a free business out of it, but you got to move all the way up there. And then don't they give you some sort of tax credits to live up there in order to help offset some of the energy costs and things?
You do. Mostly there's no or very small sales tax. There's no income tax. And you get... it varies depending on the political climate, but you'll get $1,000 to $2,000 per person per year.
Oh, that doesn't seem like too much, I mean, to offset it, but it depends on how big your family is. But still, like even here, like if you have a kid, you get a child tax credit anyway. You'd be like this.
If I was younger and was going to Skagway, I would look into a supplementary job or supplementary business, some kind of tourist-related business, or commercial fishing, or maybe even a combination radio station and newspaper.
Yeah, now you're even more investment. I can see something like that. Well, hey,
the friends I had in Valdez also had a bed and breakfast, the radio station, the newspaper, and a small gift shop.
Oh, of course. I can see that working. Well, hey, thank you so much for calling in, giving us some insights into Alaska there.
Oh, it's beautiful country. Beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. All righty.
Bye.
Good night.
I would love to visit this city. It looks beautiful. I've always wanted to go up to Alaska to check out the Northern Lights at some point. I have no interest in traveling to other countries. I mean, I guess Canada isn't a stretch to visit them as opposed, but, you know, I don't ever want to go visit overseas in Europe, or I don't ever want to go down to Mexico. I'm perfectly fine visiting anywhere in the United States and enjoying what we have here before I'd even think about leaving the country, honestly. But going up to Alaska, I've always wanted to do that. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Can't believe we're just a week away from Christmas itself. Wow. I found this one article on Vulture that said the 10 essentials to any Hallmark Christmas movie. Oh, this is great. I'm on a Hallmark movie rabbit hole right about now. And it could be a dangerous rabbit hole to go down. I can only think of one Hallmark movie I went out of my way to watch. It was maybe 5 years ago. And the movie was when Hallmark did a movie about Gordie Howe. And I said, I got to watch that one. Yes, that was the only one I decided to go out of my way for. Everything else is just, I guess the wife's watching it. And I guess we're doing this. But there was a Vulture article, 10 essentials to any Hallmark Christmas movie. A 90s actress you almost forgot about. The hot actor you probably don't know. A town with a dumb name. A failing family business, a dead spouse, a supernatural element that changes everything. So maybe this goes into the category of what Jeff was talking about with the elf ears. It says, sometimes it's an elf that comes from the North Pole to lend magical Christmas cheer. Okay. Maybe is it called North Pole or North Pole Open for Christmas? Okay, so Vulture was on to this elf one. They said white people, casting of a Hallmark movie has a lot of white people. Terrible babysitting skills, personal family trauma, and people falling in love. Oh, isn't that cute? Hallmark movies indeed. You know, there was another way to attract people to a certain area in Alaska, at least that small town. They were looking at giving away the business, the newspaper business. Hey, it's for free. You just have to come and do it. But you're going to have to do everything. Everything. There's another place, and the New York Times wrote about this. It said, by now, you're probably familiar with the pitch. Move to a town or a city or even a country you've never considered in the past, and you'll get cash in return. The latest is Topeka, Kansas. Don't we have listeners in Topeka? I'm pretty sure some of our friends over on the Kansas side. We haven't heard from them in a while. I'm going to have to look this up just to see exactly where it's at, and I can kind of get a little bit better idea. Because I don't know if you were to... Yeah, just outside Kansas. I thought, yeah, we have listeners in Topeka. So your city is offering $15,000 for people to live and work in the city. They just have to come out of there and get their home out that way. So the incentive levels change a little bit. So if you're going to move there and rent, they don't give you as much money. If you plan on buying a house, work there, be part of the community, whatever it is. Organizers say they know the money they are offering is not much of a lure. I don't know. $15,000 is a lot of money. Not that I would have considered moving to Topeka. Like, let's say I had a job opportunity there, or I could work here at KMOX. And let's say I was in that decision-making process. And right there, I was able to have to make the decision. I can go to St. Louis, work for KMOX, or I could go to Topeka, and they'll give me $15,000 right off the top. I still would have picked KMOX. It's not enough for me to consider taking such a big change in my, my ambitions and my career or whatnot. And I'm sure Topeka's got some really nice things there. And just looking at some of the photos, I don't know who does these professional photos anymore for the different cities. But, man, Google does a great job really laying out some of the cool things they got there. Architecture, greeneries, people, I guess museums. Is this what their city looks like? Yeah, it's kind of a small city. But 15 grand, would that get you moving over there? Like, would you pack up St. Louis and go over to Topeka just because? Think about this, too. Let's say you're of retirement age. You don't want to live in St. Louis anymore. You're tired because you don't see them doing much on the crime front. You see things getting worse. Things aren't getting better. You see the circuit attorney just throwing the blind eye to some pretty dangerous crimes. you know, armed carjackings, for example. Oh, no, we're not going to bother with that. And you think to yourself, yeah, maybe it's time for me to leave. And I know a lot of people have left St. Louis because of that. Or maybe they're just looking at it as, I just don't feel confident that things are going to get much better. So I could move out to the county. You know, I could stay this, or, you know, I could just start over again and go to Topeka, get 15 grand for moving there. I can enjoy my retirement. I'll just be happy. Maybe go work for, you know, a little spare time, work for a company or whatever, make a little extra bucks here or there. So the population in that county where Topeka's at is flat for the last 10 years, about 178,000 people. The program would require you to live in the county and work for an employer that in return would pay up to $15,000 in moving costs as a bonus to help with buying a home. Renters would get 10 grand. So even if you just want to get there. So I guess you need a job. Maybe this isn't the best retirement plan. See, they're already trying to figure out the scammers. I'm immediately trying to find a way to scam them out of money. That's right. Cheat the system. Average two-bedroom apartment, $750. Average price of a home, $140,000. Vermont made headlines 2018. They offered 10 grand. Topeka said, oh, no, we're upping that to 15 grand. I don't know. This may be an appeal for some people. Doesn't really do a lot for me. Might be fun to visit. If anything, is this just like an opportunity for you to learn about Topeka? So what happens when you put one of these ideas out there? You know, people go online, they'll say, oh, I wonder what Topeka looks like. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, it looks really nice. Next thing you know, it's pretty good advertising. In the back of your head, you're thinking, okay, maybe I won't visit there, but one day, oh yeah, we should check out Topeka if you're in the area, right? Who knows? This might actually have some pretty strong dividends in the future. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Jeff keeps sending me Hallmark movie trailers. Thank you for that. It's Overnight America. Hope you enjoyed the holiday radio show tonight. I had a blast. Oh, I had a blast. And I really enjoyed my time there to meet you after the show. I wish I could have stayed longer. I wish I could have met more of you. And I really missed out on a very special guest that was there. Anyone that's listening that has listened for many years to KMOX would know the name Jim White. He was just one of the best radio personalities the late night has ever seen. So many people listened to Jim White. Who was there? It was his wife, Pat. And it was the first time she's been back since, well, when Jim was performing in the holiday radio show so many years ago. And I wish I would have known she was there. You know, I was not at the right place at the right time. And she left before I even knew. And unfortunately, maybe I'll never get a chance to talk to her. I hope I do. But it was so cool that she decided to come out to this. She said she doesn't spend a lot of time in St. Louis, if at all. But this was one of the times she was here for Christmas. And this was the right time for her to do it. I don't know how she found out about the holiday radio show, but I'm glad she did. And I would love to get her on the show to talk to her about Jim White. Maybe one day I can hook up with that. I had a phone number for her, and it was the wrong phone number. So I'm going to try again, and maybe we can get her on while she's in town. That'd be kind of cool. And a couple of other things. Everyone's so worried about the foreign election interference. Oh, Russia. Oh, Ukraine. Oh, whatever. So what's kind of interesting is just sometimes it's the incompetence of our own workers that could give the biggest threats to this. So let me give you an example. This is from the AJC and the Atlanta Journal. Passwords on Georgia's new voter check-in machines now have officially been changed off of their default, but not all of them at the same time. I didn't know this. There's a St. Louis-based company that documents these iPads. It's No Ink, and they have this sort of software that goes on these iPads that is used for voting. And they have a default password. And the idea is they ship these out and the companies give you the information that you need to know. And all you have to do is change it once it gets to the end destination. So you're not using these default passwords. But some people don't think to do it. Some people think, oh, no one's going to mess with them or whatever it is. They don't secure something that should be secured. So the default password is a very simple default password. One, two, three, four. That's it. One, two, three, four. So the state, for whatever reason, rolled these out. They used the default password. They had all kinds of issues with the security, knowing that these things could be easily hacked or manipulated. Now they're having to go back and actually audit to find out if anyone had any funny business. The process to change the password started a couple of months ago. They wrote in an email. It's unclear when the changes were completed. But, hey, you know, these were rolled out statewide in March during the presidential primary election. And, you know, what are you doing? You got to have the competent people that are running these things that know a little bit about technology. If you're going to be using technology to count people's votes and you're going to be using this statewide, you better have someone in place that knows what they're doing. You can't just have someone in that has no idea how this works. It drives me crazy when you see people in these different areas in government, especially federal government, the ones that are heading up divisions that are very technologically advanced. They have no idea how the technology works. Come on now. Here's another voting machine issue. And it's another concern. People are very concerned about hacking in the 2020 election. And how could the hacking take place? You could do it a couple of different ways. If you're standing at the actual kiosk where you're putting your vote into the machine, if someone tries to manipulate it as a way to get in there and change things, they could. Now, there's people monitoring it. It's pretty difficult for you to do something like that. I guess there's a way for you to remotely try to get in. Okay, that's a something, but it's also a very difficult process. I guess there's a way to try to manipulate the counting or the tabulation or the servers that are used in that. Okay, I get that. None of those have, we don't have any indication any of that ever happened from foreign influence. But here's the biggest flaw where there could be the biggest concern where people could manipulate votes. Voting machines that are used widely across the country contains parts with ties with China and Russia. So why is that a concern? Okay, so they use Chinese parts. They use Russian parts. Okay, whatever. When it comes to technology, you know, there's certain parts that you plug into any computer or used in any computer. There's an opportunity for them to insert, like a Trojan horse, something there that once it's plugged in, it gives access, a backdoor access to hackers where they can remotely get into these machines. Basically, they program in a vulnerability. So when you use these voting machines, if you're unable to detect the vulnerability, they would have free roaming access into these voting machines. Now, this is just a hypothetical. We don't know exactly if this has happened or not. But we, what we do know is that these foreign suppliers are from countries where this is possible, and it could be a real problem in the future. One widely used electronic voting machine was found to contain components from suppliers and locations in China and Russia. The report comes as U.S. lawmakers and national security officials increasingly have sounded alarms about the supply chain risks. Although supplier chains span the globe are common in the tech industry, Russia and China pose concerns because how U.S. officials say the companies have access to technology without actually getting onto the mainland, the borders. They worry about this because there's a lot of different types of technologies where this could be. There's even cell phone manufacturers that are made in certain countries, and you buy these cell phones, and they're worried that they're finding backways into your phone, and they're stealing a bunch of different information for something like that. The recent report found one voting machine in a case study. The machine, around 20% of its components were from other countries, like China, for example. Processors, software, touchscreens, according to the research that was done here. Researchers didn't conduct any research into the protocols or safeguards. They don't know if any of them have actually got into any of these machines. But what we do know is that it's a possibility, and it's on their radar, and they're trying to fix it before it gets to that point. And yeah, they can identify these things, but it seems a little too late. What are you going to do, update all these machines? Sometimes, you know, they don't hook these machines up to the internet. But you don't have to sometimes. That's one of the different safeguards that they have. If you keep it off the internet, it makes it less likely that it could be hacked. You'd have to be standing there to see it. But there's other ways that they can get into these. It's not like you have to have them where a hacker, like they show in the movies, where they got 20 computer screens in front of them, and they're typing 100 miles a minute on their, and they're getting into these things. It's not like that anymore. You know, it's sometimes you just find that it's just one vulnerability that goes undetected that they can go use under the radar. Vendor said since 2016, they've stepped up their security measures amid the surge from security experts. In addition, cybersecurity researchers who scrutinized voting machines at the DEF CON Computer Security Conference in recent years also issued warnings about the supply chain risk. Yeah, they put these hacker conferences together, and the idea is to show, and, you know, people are hackers, and they show what they've done, what they've been able to do, how they've been able to do it. We've learned a lot from them. So mostly they're good hackers. They're ethical hackers, meaning they're not doing it as a way to influence or hack into elections. They're doing it as a way to point out vulnerabilities. And it's almost like a hobby for them. It's like a challenge. It's a puzzle. How can I get into this? And it's, you know, it's a good checks and balances. They're not doing it in a malicious way. And, you know, companies, really high-end companies, they actually hire hackers to come in and try to find vulnerabilities and see how hard it is for them to get in and disrupt things. And the reason they do this is because it's easier for them to hire someone, find all the ways that they're vulnerable, fix those things before someone that has poor intentions would come in and do that and cause a lot of harm to your company. So that's becoming a big thing, too. I feel like when my kid starts to get older and he thinks about a career, cybersecurity, man, I feel like that's going to just explode. It's already really big, and there's not going to be enough. I mean, there's so much demand for it. I mean, everything that we've seen so far, it's enough to learn how to program computers and do things like that. I feel like if you're really good at cybersecurity, you're going to have a guaranteed job for the rest of your life. One more hour of Overnight America coming up. And, you know, we did the holiday radio show earlier. I hope you enjoyed that. All of the people that attended tonight are probably all nestled in their beds. But we had a nice full house, and it was really cool to meet you afterwards. I wish I could have stayed longer. We'll have another hour of Overnight America coming up. If you're a grandparent, I got a question for you, too, coming up on KMOX.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.